Father, again, Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you are God of all, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, apart from you, nothing exists. Lord, nothing has life that it has not received from you. Father, we thank you that our life is in your hands and that you are a good God and you are a holy God and you are a righteous God. And we thank you and praise you this morning. Father, I ask that, again, you would just continue to come and speak to us, Father. Lord, that, Lord, your will would be done as we look into the Scriptures, Lord, that things I would say would be from you and not from men, Lord, but they would be what would be on your heart this morning. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Lord, give us power to live, Lord, passion to praise you and practice, Lord, to worship you as we go on and listen to these things, but Lord, that we could apply them to our life, because we don't want to be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers also. Lord, we don't want to be of those who heard great things but never put them into practice, Lord. So help us to do that, Father. Thank you. That's why you've sent the Spirit, Lord, to empower us to live lives that are pleasing to you. Father, speak to us, and we pray. And Lord, just have your way. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, that you love us. Lord, that you care for us. Father, that, Lord, you're not against us, Lord, but you're for us, Lord. I ask that you would just break down every wall or every thing that would resist you this morning. Lord, may we just be open unto you. May we be transparent before you this morning. Lord, just be pliable clay that you might come with your hands and form us and shape us, Lord, that the tablets of our hearts would be soft, that you could write thereupon, Lord, and that these things would make a difference in our life, that we would live unto the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. Just thank you, Father, this morning. Thank you for your presence, for your love for us, Lord. Lord, for your health, for your healing. Lord, for your restoration to us. We thank you, Lord. Amen. This morning we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and carry on. We're going to begin in verse 17 and get through verse 21. So that's probably like five verses. So that'll be a challenge, but we're going to do it. So this that section that we're looking at has basically two parts to it, and I want to go through and read it, give definitions of certain words so we're all on the same page. We're not wondering what do these verses mean, so we're all on the same page. We're understanding what the Spirit means to say to us. So we'll do that, and then I'm going to end up with a couple answers that protect us and propel us and cover us to live lives that are pleasing to Christ. In these verses, if I were going to have a title, and Ted picks the titles for the sermon, sometimes he calls me, and I don't know if I've ever given you an answer. I'm not good at it. But if I did, this one would be futility or fulfillment. And the answer to that is to hear and to heed. So it's our lives, are they futility or are they fulfillment? And the answer, the way to get to fulfillment and not futility, is to hear and to heed. Heed meaning putting it into practice. So that's what you're going to find in these verses. 17 through 19 is futility. 20 and 21, okay, they're our direction. They're what we need to apply in our lives. So again, if you don't have a Bible, there's maybe a couple underneath the table back there under the Chinese painting or one somewhere. There's a couple up here in the front. But let's read these verses. Someone asked, I don't know who they asked, but I read it the other day. Somebody asked some man, they said, why is it? And I don't know if he meant it encouragingly. He said, it's amazing. Why is it that the church, there isn't much difference anymore between the world and the church? there's not a lot of difference. He said, I've thought about that, why there isn't a lot of difference between the church and the world anymore. They're all kind of working on the same social things and whatever. Not much difference between the world and the church. He said, do you think it's because the world's gotten better? And the other man looked at him and he said, no, I don't think so. I think the church has gotten worse. You know, so this is prevention for those things, where we end up. So let's read, and again, this is written to a Christian church, one that's written about in the Ephesians or in Revelation, the church of Ephesus. It was the place that Timothy lived at, the place that John, that St. John was at. Obviously, Paul was there. He birthed the church. It had all kinds of influence. They were a good church. They were a wonderful church. This letter is written to them. And this that we start to read now in verse 17 is really a follow-up from the first three verses of the chapter. And if we were going to read it kind of flowingly without Paul likes to take diversions, but they're really good diversions and they're Spirit-directed versions. And he does it for a reason when he does that. And so if we were going to read this kind of in the correct context, it would read basically like this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's what's on his heart, that we would walk worthy of the vocation that we have been called into. How do we do it? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, Gentiles being those who are unsaved, unchristian, that you don't walk like other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And I'm going to stop there, and obviously it carries into verse 22. We'll pick that up at a later date. They flow through. But I didn't want to end a sermon with verse 19. Okay? It's a little negative, and I don't want to end a sermon in negativity. I want to say something that's edifying and build that will build us up. So if we look at this verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify unto you. Testify means to bear witness. He says, I'm bearing witness unto you, and it's spoken, it's a word of great conviction and power. I testify unto you in the Lord. So he says, it's as though the Lord, I'm testifying unto you, but I'm in the Lord. So the Lord is testifying to the church of Ephesus, and he's giving him a warning. Okay? There's a warning there because these things are possible. It would be totally dumb of the Spirit to warn somebody of something that cannot happen. Okay, so the warning is something we need to take, to pay attention to, because it is possible as Christians to miss the mark. And so he warns them, this I say, I testify in the Lord that you henceforth, or that you walk, and again, walk means to order our behavior. It's our attitudes, it's our thought life, it's our reactions with the world, it's our reactions with one another, it's the time that we manage, it's how we it's our life, every aspect of our life, so that we walk not as other Gentiles or the unsaved walk. They walk a certain way. Don't walk like that. The church shouldn't look like the world. A Christian shouldn't look like a worldling. Don't walk like them. And, of course, obviously he's not talking about legs, you know, walking. He's talking about how you order your life. People should be able to say, oh, there's something different about that guy. I know they say that about Steve. And it's not just his accent. You know, it's a good thing. And they say it about you, I hope. You know, there's something different about them. Or what happened to this? What happened to Marvin? Wow, Marvin was a wildcat. And what happened to him? You know, and it should be something that is progressing and going on and on. This is what we're hungry for, is to live lives that are pleasing to Jesus Christ. It confounds the world. It convicts the world. It challenges the world to be like us. They might not say that, but we shouldn't walk as the world walks. We should be different. Okay? We should get along better than the world gets along. We should love better than the world loves. We should be desirous to do good works more than the world does those things. Though we find no righteousness in them, it's because it's just what we want to do. The Spirit leads us into these things. We should be holier, obviously, than the world. The world cannot be holy. But we should be more like Christ than anyone. That's what we are to be, epistles that are known and read by all men. We shouldn't walk like the rest of the world. How are you walking? If we had a graph or some kind of a photo picture of your last month's life, what would it look like? You know, again, someone said, if you were arrested and accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you that you're a Christian? You know, and Christianity isn't just the things you don't do. Christianity is a positive. It's the things we do do. We worship God with heart and soul and mind. We worship Him, and because we worship Him, we love Him. Because we love Him, we obey His commandments. It's things we do do that make a difference. So don't walk like other Gentiles walk. Now, we come into some really important things, and the time is doubling on me. In the vanity of your mind, the word vanity, and there's different versions here, it basically means it's futile, the futility of your minds. Gentiles, the unsaved, walk in the futility of their minds. They are pursuing something that is aimless, that is purposeless, that is hopeless, and they will never reach it anyway. I remember as a child going with my parents someplace on the highway, and there was that wet spot in front of me on the highway. You see that wet spot out there? We never got to it. You know, it was always moving ahead of me, and I asked my, what is that, Dad, you know? And, well, it's a mirage. That's about, and what's a mirage? Well, it's that, you know. Okay. but, you know, that's what a futile life is. What is your life like? You're always chasing something, always chasing, yet never having, never grasping. A millionaire never has enough. Carnegie said, they asked Carnegie when he was the richest man in America, when are you going to stop? He said, when I get enough. When I get enough. There's never enough. And it doesn't matter what you're pursuing. It will never be enough. This is vanity. This is futility. Pursuing something that will never satisfy the innermost man. That's why suicide is higher among those who are famous, the rich and the famous. Who wants to be like them? Their suicide rate's higher. You hardly see suicide. These little children we saw, you don't see suicide out there. People that have nothing out in Burma where I was, you don't hear suicide. They got nothing. They don't commit suicide. Go to Hollywood, they got suicide because they've been lied to. They've been deceived by the vanity of their minds. You be careful. I must be careful that we are not spinning our wheels for something that we will never attain. And if we could attain it in this life, it'll be gone. It's a vapor. Boom. And then we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Yea, though we gain the whole world, lose his soul. What are we going to give? This is the word vanity. Gentiles walk like that. Don't you walk like that. I shouldn't walk like that. This is what the Spirit is saying to the church at Ephesus. It's a good church. It's not a bad church. It's a good church. But the Spirit is warning them to do it because this is what the world pulls on us and pulls us down. Vanity. That which is vain, aimless, it's resultless, it's futile, never attaining, unable to reach the goal, it is unsatisfying. You know, there's a hymn that we used to sing, 92 in the Redemption Hymnal. Haven't sang it. I have tasted of the waters of this world, but I am thirsty yet. You know, it doesn't work. So the vanity of their mind, and the mind is just the way they live. They think, their thought pattern, how they express themselves, where they give their time. It's not just a mental capacity. It's all that is within us. It's our heart, the futility of our lives. You know, futile. How terrible to be on your deathbed and feel like you've wasted your whole life. I've lived for nothing. I've wasted my life. You know, but Christians don't live that way. They're not supposed to. It goes on, the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened. Again, understanding is that faculty of understanding, but also of feeling and desire. That's what the word means. And to be darkened means to be blinded in the mind. Okay, their minds are blind. They don't see the things of Christ. To them, Christ is not glorious. He is not beautiful. God isn't wonderful. God is, if anything, if they even acknowledge Him, He's scary. And I don't want to be by God. And I don't want to be like Him. I want to, you know, when you tell these people, you say, listen, if you keep living like this, You can't do that. You're following this group of people. They're going to end up in hell. Well, that's where I want to end up anyway. I want to be with my friends in hell. We're going to party down there forever. Well, something's wrong with the understanding. That's what that's darkened. Something's wrong here. And that's what it means. It's been darkened or it's been blinded. And it is in the perfect participle, which means something happened to them. Boom. And the effects of that are still alive today, and they are still blinded today. That which happened to them was original sin. That which happened to them was they were born in sin. We were born fallen. In a sense, we were born spiritually dead, and they're blinded. So Christians, church, he's saying, don't walk like them. Don't do that. Don't live that way. It's been darkened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, who the God of this world hath blinded their minds so they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Their minds have been blinded. Our minds blinded. What consumes our time? Are we so ignorant? Are we so silly that we put temporal things ahead of eternal things? This is Paul saying, the Spirit is saying, don't walk this way. That's how they walk. Don't do that. And this is the result if you walk like that. They're alienated. Alienated. Again, I don't know what your version's having it. It means to be estranged. They've estranged themselves from God. Okay? It means to disassociate themselves from God, not being associated with God, to disassociate, to shut someone out from fellowship and intimacy. That's what it means to be alienated, to shut one out from intimacy and fellowship, to be separated, to be estranged from what? The life of God. The life of God. There is no other life. Everything that hath life and breath comes from Him. And the word life there is the word in Greek, zoe. And I'm sure that got her attention. Hi, Zoe. It means zoe in the Greek. It means an absolute, and again, there's broader definitions, but an absolute fullness of life, life as belonging to God. The life that God has in Himself, and it is conferred to those who have repented and been truly born again. This is life. It's the reason to live. It's what makes us get up in the morning and praise God. It's life. It's resurrection life. And they have alienated. They have severed themselves. They have disassociated themselves. They have estranged themselves from the possibility of this life. And the warning is to us and to our children and to people who come in within the sound of the Spirit of God, don't alienate yourselves from the life of God. It is the only hope that you have. It's the only hope that I have. And there's warnings coming here, powerful warnings, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. It's a willful ignorance. They want to live their own lives. They want to do their thing instead of doing God's things. And it happens in the church. It happens in our life. We want our way and those things. So he's saying, don't do this. Don't do that way. And that because of the blindness of their hearts. And then look at verse 19. Who these ones are being past feeling. What does that mean? To be past feeling. This is sad. I mean, when I was looking at this, studying it this week, it was heartbreaking. Past feeling. To cause or to cease from feeling pain or grief, being apathetic or just bored. Being lazy in the things of God. Hearing God and say, I don't really care. Who cares? Vikings are going to lose. I mean, play today. And whatever. I mean, I'm worried about dinner. I'm worried about this. Whatever. To be just apathetic, just passive in the things of God, just floating around. Don't really care. Putting it off. But to cease from feeling pain or grief. The heart has ceased to be sensible to the stimuli of the conscience. Imagine being in such a state that when the Spirit convicts you, there's nothing in you to be convicted. And people walk this way. You know, my daughter isn't here, but the thing that she told me is she said, Dad, I knew I was doing wrong. And I went as far as I could from God. To the point I blasphemed Him, Dad. And she's weeping. I blasphemed Him. But there was always this still small voice in me that convicted me. And I couldn't keep it down. I couldn't shut it off. It was there all the time. And I woke up one morning and I was done fighting. I couldn't. I knew it was real, that Jesus was real. And I quit fighting. Now, men and women, we can harden ourselves to the point that we feel no longer pain. or conviction of sin. Wow. This is what he's warning. You know, especially young people, the world is pulling on you. And popularity is pulling on you, and peer pressure is beating down on you, and you want to push the things of God away from you. You want to pretend like you don't hear, but you do hear. But you want to pretend you don't because you don't want to be accountable to it. But let me tell you, there you can go to such a point that you get to this, which the scripture I've just said here, that it is past feeling, that the conviction is gone, and you might think, oh, great, now I got no conviction. The problem is you're going to spend eternity in hell. Apart from the grace of God somehow doing something miraculous and making your heart alive, because it's deadened. It's a scary place to be in. So that's his warning. Past feeling, verse 19, and having given themselves over, that means freely, because they've gone beyond, they've been able to subdue the Spirit's conviction in their life, they've basically handed themselves over to the kidnapper. Here I am, take me. I'm yours. Do with me what you shall do. They handed themselves over to the tormentors. They've handed them over to the terrorists and say, here you are, have me. I don't want to hear the voice of God anymore. I'm turning myself freely over to the tormentors. That's what the end of it is. This is what the scripture is saying to us. It's a great, 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 great warning. Who, being past feeling, again, that is present tense as well as continuous. They're past feeling and they're continuing to feel nothing. No conviction in their life. What a sad place to be. Praise God for conviction. That means you're still alive. That means you still have hope. That means God's still after you. Praise God for conviction. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. It just means every form of rottenness, being lawless, without restraint. And it frequently has a filthy connotation too. It's just being whatever, lewd. I'm going to do anything I want to do. And if that isn't the world today, I don't know what is. But the warning is also to the church. Don't walk like that. Okay? Don't walk like that. Being past feeling. Wow. Can you imagine being in that place where conviction no longer has any effect on us? We just ride it out. Oh, well, I've heard that before. Doesn't matter. Poof. Don't be like that. The end is not a good ending. It's not a good end to the story. And they work, as it goes on, to work all on cleanness and greediness. But, hallelujah, isn't that one of the best words in the Bible? But, and we find it again and again. We found it in chapter 2, didn't we? When we read through that, verse 1 of chapter 2, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our behavior in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy. So here's the other one, the next one here, verse 20, but you, dear church, you, dear Christian, man, woman, young person, child, you, and the Spirit is touching and Paul is pointing him, but you have not so learned Christ. This is our escape from living a futile life. We must learn Christ. And he goes into verse 21 and tells us two things that means. Okay, it goes on, and I'm stopping on 21. I know we're going on into 22, so you don't have to correct me too heavily. I know where we're going, but we're not getting there today. We're getting to the end of verse 21. But learning Christ means two things. And so verse 21, if so be, you know, this is how it is, if so be that you have heard him. Now, other versions say, some of versions say heard of him or heard from him. That's not what it is. It's heard him. Okay, that's number one. Well, actually, number one is that we're learning. If so be you have learned of Christ, then verse 21, if so be that you have heard him, and then the second thing, have you been being taught? Have you been being taught by him? Okay, that's where we're going. This is the answer to save us from futility, to save us from lives that will be shipwrecked in the end, to save us even as Christians. It says that in one case that they said, Paul said, we'll turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. But his soul, maybe his spirit will be saved in the end. What a way to end up for a Christian, to be turned over to Satan What a way to go. He can save you instead of Christ because of our hardness of our hearts or selfishness of ourselves, the strength of sin in our life, self-centeredness, that the church has to say, we're turning you over to Satan. We're taking our hands off of you. You have no church covering. You are on your own. Satan, get him. And maybe in the end, their spirits will be saved. They'll at some point find Christ in the midst of this. Paul says, don't go this way. The Spirit is saying, don't go this way. So let's look at these two things that it talks about. To learn Christ again is that he is the object of everything. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Again, it's him. It's not learning about him, though that can help. All right? It's not learning doctrine, though that can help. It's not memorizing scripture, though that can help. It's not spending time in prayer, though obviously that's going to help if you find Christ there. You know, but it's not fasting for fasting's sake, though that can help. Learn Christ. To learn Christ, I must be in him. In him. To learn Christ, just be there in him. Man, to learn Christ. If so, you won't walk like this. And the word, if so, different versions will have it differently. It means it is a fulfilled condition. And we could read it, instead of saying, if so be, we could read it, in as the case is. In other words, he's saying, I know it's this way. I know it's this way. I know this is the way it is, that you have heard him. But you have not so learned Christ. Am I learning Christ? Am I dying to myself? Am I finding out that he must increase and I must decrease? Am I dying to self? Am I living for him? Am I finding him? Learning Christ. Just learning him. Wow. Being swallowed up in him. I just... I